world at his feet, mm-hmm. goes to Real Madrid. What and do we what? All think? He's going to be amazing.
Starts well, gets injured.
Gets fat.
Gets injured and then fat. Gets injured first and then fat.
We here!
Welcome back to an episode of the 6 Year Box Podcast. This is episode 95, where we're going over some league action today very, very quickly. And this is the last episode before the end of the 6YB Derby, where PSG Arsenal will be facing off on Wednesday. We are previewing that a little bit today. Also, we got Inter Barcelona tomorrow. And on Thursday, we'll be back to review all of that. Before we get to it, there's been Europa League action we have not talked about. There's been some Premier League stuff, La Liga stuff, Serie A stuff, all of that that we're getting into really, really, really quick today. A couple of arguments maybe mixed in there. Of course, I am joined by the lovely Antoine and the lovely Leafs correspondent here, Blake Talibis. How are you doing?
I'm okay. I'm excited. The Leafs didn't blow it like I said they were.
Yeah.
And life's good for now.
Yeah.
So we lose tomorrow.
So you were borderline denouncing the Leafs on Thursday, and now you're back fully on the train. You got the hat, you got the jersey.
But see, I have a bone to pick with your significant other specifically.
Oh
because wow. She did, and she was on my ass about, oh yeah, totally in the bag, right? Yeah, obviously I was making a joke. However, no one should ever deny my love for my team.
Well, can you give some context? What was
I just was very negative on the team, on the podcast a little bit too. And then leading
even
up
more
to
off
game,
the podcast,
leading up to the game, I was very negative about them, and they did the thing they won, which is not something that they usually do.
Yes.
So obviously, I was really happy, and like I don't think anyone should ever deny my love for my teams. I know I'm very passionate, and does it go to a negative stance sometimes? Absolutely. However, I love my teams. I always will. Mm. I'm just overreactionary sometimes.
Yes.
Yes.
On either side.
Yes.
Who is like for the football fans watching? Who is like the the football equivalent of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Like Arsenal. It's like so...
Tottenham?
Yeah, but Tottenham, like... Tottenham don't really have history. And like, it could be Tottenham, I guess. But like, the Leafs are not 16th.
Mm. Mm.
And like, the Leafs have just made it past the first round. Arsenal just made it past the first round last year.
Like, they're good, but
they're not. Good, but they're not. Win. They don't win. Okay. Yeah. Mm. So I think they're pretty similar, which is kind of funny.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So yeah, a team that hasn't won in since 67.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Number 67, who scored the winner?
Mm-hmm. Just Max Pacioretty, former Montreal Canadian.
Really?
Anyway, this is a soccer podcast. Sorry, but shout out the Leafs. I'm repping them today.
Shout out the Leafs. Yeah. Game one today in the second round against Florida. If you know, you know. If you don't, it's okay. This is a football podcast.
Yeah.
Anyways, lads, did PSG play this weekend,
they
Antoine?
They did.
How did they do?
They lost. But unlike another team that lost in Arsenal, they didn't field their full strength 11.
All, right. All three of our teams lost at the weekend.
Yeah, but
not that we care
it's
that
at
much.
The point of the season where you don't really care anymore, do you?
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Strasbourg you're playing?
It was Strasbourg. Strasbourg.
Strasbourg.
Oh, yeah. Right. No, hold on.
I said it yesterday. I was talking to a sporting fan yesterday. We were talking about Quenda going to Chelsea. Terrible move. I was like, in 3 years, he'll be at Strasbourg.
Oh.
I said it a lot better. It just rolled off the tongue
you
so naturally.
Just be English and say Strasbourg.
Or be authentic and say Strasbourg. I was watching 3 years ago or 2 years ago today on the TikTok, and it was like the footy tic-tac-toe that we did. Bro, like, we were so cringe, man. We're cringe.
Footy tic-tac-toe, here's the cringe.
I know exactly the one you were talking about, too.
Yeah, the one with Miles.
Miles introing with the sunglasses. Yeah. I remember that in particular. This is OG fans of 6 Year Box, if you know, you know. This is back in the day. This was 2 years ago. This is when we first started getting into, like, social media and stuff. We were known as not known as 6 Year Box then. The Real Football Podcast back then.
What a name.
What a name.
Who came up with it?
Anyway, we can't move past that.
I thought it was me.
Was it?
I thought Raf said he did it, but
yeah, whatever. Raf helped me on it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Anyways,
we didn't give it much thought because we didn't think it would be, you know, a brand. No, this is a brand. But
it was back in the days where we didn't record the podcast. We literally just made games.
Yeah, we didn't record pods on video like this. We just 40 tic-tac-toe.
Just rinsing them, bro.
Rinsing them. But we got really cringe with those intros.
Yeah.
Because like he would say it normally, and they'll be like, "Yo, energy, Miles, come on."
Yeah. And then he up his.
He puts on the sunglasses, the hood. Hoodie tic-tac-toe. Here's the grit.
Like, yeah, bro. Glad we're past that time.
I'm glad we can just sit on here, act like ourselves, talk footy, and we get clips from it that do better anyways.
Yeah.
It's better. Yeah.
Blake comes up with some bad takes.
Blake Raw Dog in the
that,
pod.
Oh my God. Well.
I don't come up with bad takes. Also, this is how you know that there's nothing to talk about because we haven't even gotten to the thing we need to talk about because football doesn't matter right now. It only matters on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Except for Syria.
Oh, he's giving Thursdays.
Oh, you're giving Thursdays.
Oh, for like the smaller-minded fans, yeah.
Smaller-minded yeah. fans.
I don't have bad takes. I really don't. I was actually saying this to someone. I think I actually try to make takes that have like some sort of credibility to them, but are outside the box. You guys like, wow, Fabian deserves credit. Yeah, he's been good. Oh wow,
but he doesn't get the credit.
Barca have but like, he doesn't get the credit. Oh my God, Barca have like been so amazing this season. Yeah, okay, but why do they deserve that credit? Because they have so much history and they don't really have that much of a reason to be bad besides financial mishaps.
Fair.
So I feel like I try to go outside the box a little more, but I genuinely believe most of what I say, if not all of what I say.
Well, of course you believe all you say. You're not lying here. Yeah.
Mm. I just think you guys need to like be a little more fun next sometime.
A little more fun.
Yeah, a little more fun.
I think there's a fine line between fun.
Talk some and crazy
just,
takes.
Exactly. No, it's just like, you know, live a little.
Live a little.
Live a little. Yeah. We should do like Football Imposter where like one of us has like an insane take.
I saw that.
And then we guess whose take it is.
It works well.
Yes.
And it's a great concept, honestly.
It is a great concept.
We should do that when Miles is back.
Yeah. I'm down for it.
It's seriously great because you get to like talk ball knowledge and like talk what you believe for the people that aren't imposters.
Mm-hmm.
But then for the person that is imposter, you try to like convince the others that you actually believe what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's actually a really cool concept. I really like it.
Sure.
We need to try it.
I'm down for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I know. I'm guessing Blake on every take. Okay.
But the thing is, how would we get the... We need a fifth.
There's ways that you could do it. I mean, we can talk about it afterwards, but like there are ways that you could do it with just four. Like put into like a randomizer, share doc or something. You don't know who put what. I don't know. Anyways. Yeah. Anyways, let's get on to the actual league action, boys. And Blake, I want to touch on a little bit what you were just saying, that like the league is not as interesting as... it should be at this point. And I've been trying to think of why, because there have been times where we're coming to the end of a Premier League season and most positions are pretty much guaranteed.
Yeah.
But it's still interesting. But I find this season is just not as interesting. And I'm kind of like struggling with finding a reason why.
It's a good question. I mean, the last couple of seasons, I think this title race between Arsenal and City has been a little more what?
It's the wall panel behind you.
I think it's just been a little more. It's been a little more competitive. It's been a bit, at least a little more elongated.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, even the top four race is not fun right now. Why? It's because everyone's losing. Because
everyone's losing?
Everyone's losing.
But like, there's still that suspense.
Is there even suspense? I mean, I don't know.
There's 3 points.
Like,
between
yes, if I was a Villa fan, and I would be enjoying the season much more, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying what I'm saying because United are doing so bad. That's a narrative that actually makes the season more interesting, that United is more bad. But I feel like besides like Bournemouth, Villa, Chelsea maybe competing for the top spots, like there's no narratives going on in football.
Yeah.
Just beyond that. Like there's no ongoing narratives. Like if Arsenal had challenged Liverpool for longer and now Liverpool had just clinched the league, we'd still be in the fallout of, okay, why didn't Arsenal challenge Liverpool more? And we would still have that dialogue going. Mm-hmm. But this is a narrative that we were touching on, you know, 2 months ago, 3 months ago, why Arsenal couldn't challenge Liverpool.
Yeah.
We're talking about Man City being bad this season, but that was a narrative that was really harped on, you know, months back when they were in that like really, really cold streak. Now it's not really as much of a narrative. We're talking about United and Spurs being bad this season, but that's not really a narrative anymore. We've kind of normalized it. What's the actual narratives going on beyond like, oh, Antoine Semenyo doing really well this year, guys.
Right.
You know, even like the relegation teams, there's nothing much going on there. There's no managers being sacked or really under pressure. We're not talking much about the summer yet. There's just not much to be invested in unless you're like a pure football purist that will sit down for like an Ipswich Southampton game and love what you're seeing. Right. You know, like
what's wrong with that?
There's absolutely nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with being a hardcore.
But also, you have to realize that those type of people are either like a little bit insane or just have nothing better to do with their lives
would you sit down, let's just say on a random Saturday at 9 a.m. to watch a Parma versus Como game?
No.
Might have done that this weekend.
Good on you, lad. Good on you, lad.
So you're calling me insane?
I love that from you.
A little bit, because okay. We watch so much football as it is.
So much sports.
Sports throughout our entire 21 years of life.
Mm-hmm.
That to sit down and watch a game that has no meaning, like, you
but
do
it's
get
not,
bored of it.
But it's not a game that has no meaning. Like,
what did Parma Como have meaning-wise?
Well, Parma actually are fighting relegation right now.
Okay,
they,
sure.
They needed
so there's
win.
A narrative.
There you go. There's
they're not relegated, but this loss, like, kind of still puts them in that relegation battle.
Okay.
And then Como are in, they were on 4 wins in a row, the most informed team in Serie A. So I kind of wanted to see, like, what they were offering. I watched them a couple times this season already. Fabregas is making them play some great football. Yeah. And they won again. So five wins in a row. So there's still narratives in maybe in other leagues. Sure, if it's Ipswich Southampton, I'll pass respectfully. Because that's championship level. We'll
genuinely.
Yeah.
But
no, that's fair. Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing is, you said it kind of really well, Julian, is that all of the interesting narratives and interesting plot lines,
storylines
of the reality TV that is sport and especially the Premier League, they've been introduced very early on into the season.
Yeah.
So there isn't any new plot.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
It's just the same old stuff that's riding out to the end.
And there's no plots developing.
Exactly. Again, sure, like, even the Bournemouth thing. Bournemouth, before this win against Arsenal, they've kind of been falling off.
Yeah.
Aston Villa hasn't had the strongest season besides them being in the Champions League. Nottingham Forest had a wonderful three-fifths of the season.
Yeah.
And then the last kind of two-fifths have been, again, not as good as they were at the beginning. And it's like a lot of the narratives and a lot of the stories that we've seen, a lot of the good performances that we have seen from these teams have either faded or the juiciness of their plot has just not been there.
Yeah. And like at the same time, like, this is the American take from us. So maybe some people listening to this
fuck you, Cleveland Guardians.
North American take from us is that we have other sports that we're not more invested in,
more invested
but there's in. Other shit to watch. There's other entertainment to watch, right? Example A being Toronto Maple Leafs.
Why are you shaking your head?
Bro, your team's in a Champions League semifinal. You're saying we're more invested in hockey right now?
Yeah. They're also playing it tonight, and they play every day.
Fair.
It's also my team. I you guys know this. The Leafs are my team.
There's baseball going on. There's NBA playoffs going on.
What?
What?
Why are you scoffing?
I'm not.
You are. You scoff.
And
this guy said there's baseball. Are we seriously taking baseball over footy right now?
No, yes, no. I'm not.
We
saying
are
it.
Not.
I am not. But I'm just saying a lot of.
We are taking baseball over league footy right now. That isn't a Serie A fan.
Or La Liga.
Thank you.
But
or Liga.
What's happening in Liga right
shut
now?
Up.
Bro, what? This is a top four race. In
okay.
This is a Champions League race. Top three.
Listen,
bro,
just allow it, man. Just allow it.
What?
Just allow it.
No.
No what?
No one cares about the league on top four race.
Football purists do.
Yeah, there's like four of those in the world.
That's crazy.
Bro, okay. Let's not take it that far, Blake. Come on.
Do you care about the... Name me the league on top four right now.
PSG.
Yeah.
Monaco.
No. in order. Yes, Monaco's in, but... In order.
Okay. Fuck. No, okay. You can just give me the four teams.
Okay, sure.
Monaco is no longer.
Monaco's in. Monaco's third.
Monaco's third. Okay, yeah. Is Lyon's not there.
No.
Lyon's struggling.
See, Lyon's like 10th. No.
Marseille
six.
Are there.
Or six or seven.
Marseille are there. There.
Marseille second.
Are Brest there?
No.
Are Lille there?
They might be fifth now because they drew to Marseille this weekend.
And the other one is super random.
No, I'm actually blanking on the last one.
He doesn't even know himself.
See?
That's crazy.
But, okay. Yes, we are more of like a Premier League audience. So when we are not as invested in the Premier League, let's not jump the gun and say every league is boring. Let's be honest. This league and title, or not title race, top four race could be the most interesting thing in the world and you still won't be paying attention. Let's be real. Yeah. So, and I probably wouldn't be as invested either. Maybe I tune in for a game or two, but I wouldn't be that invested either. Obviously, he would because that's France. That's home. But, like, you know, there's a title race going on in Portugal right now, but I don't expect people to be that invested in it. I am, though.
I'll pass.
I am, though. Bro, Sporting, we're losing yesterday.
Hit me. Give me some Portuguese ball knowledge here.
So, everything I'm telling you was going on during the family event yesterday.
Oof.
And the family is split up between Benfica and Sporting fans. So this was like tensions are high,
there.
Right?
Okay.
So Sporting was losing until the 80-ish minute to Victoria Guimarães. Gimaraes.
Okay.
Gimaraes.
Yeah.
Like Bruno Gimaraes. Yeah. Anyways.
This is disgraceful right now.
Why?
This is disgraceful.
Why?
This is the... Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'll
I don't know Portuguese, but I can be invested in the league, okay? Benfica just beat Estoril 2-1. Goals from Arsens and Otamendi. All right? Allow me, please.
Arsens, baller.
Underrated baller.
Underrated baller.
Frederick Arsens.
For sure.
Anyways. Sporting was losing until like the 80th minute. 80th minute is when like the family kind of dispersed. We were like, oh, yeah, good job with Sporting there.
Uh-huh.
Two late goals right at the end, and they win it.
Hurts.
Yeah. So they're still ahead of Benfica, but like barely in the
title
race. So
wait, what made you pick Benfica over Sporting?
Family. Same reason I chose United.
But I thought your family was split.
My immediate family.
That's why I wanted...
Like my dad is Benfica. Oh. My mom is Benfica.
Are you sure?
My grandparents on my mom's side are Benfica. My grandparents, more my grandpa on my dad's side is Sporting.
So where does United come into this?
Because we were also diehard Cristiano Ronaldo fans growing up. Mm-hmm. And my dad specifically got me into United. I have a scarf upstairs. I was debating on bringing it down here instead of the Benfica one. Of
probably would have been a better fit.
It was a. We have enough United here. United Lyon scarf. I think he's told you about this. But he was at that game in Lyon in 2008 watching Cristiano Ronaldo. He was legitimately a diehard Man United fan. When Aguero scored that last minute goal in 2012, he was upset because he was a United fan. And he'll deny that, but he was. Maybe in a couple years, he'd be a Liverpool fan. I don't fucking know how that's going to go. Right now, he's claiming PSG, whatever. But back then, crazy. He was diehard Man United. Crazy. He was diehard Man United, and naturally, I picked up on that as well. Just like how my mom's side and most of my immediate family was diehard Benfica, so I picked up on that as well. Admittedly, I was more into United, even a little bit of Real Madrid more back then. But especially now when like I go to Portugal, we might go to Portugal this summer. We went to Portugal 2 summers ago and caught the Benfica game, which is where the scarf is from. Yeah.
Then, that was sick when I remember that.
Then yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I found the team that I was blanking on. Strasbourg.
Ah.
Yeah.
So that's
I think it's PSG, Marseille, Monaco, Lille, Strasbourg, Lyon.
I saw Desiree Doué nutmeg his brother.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. His older brother his too, older right? Brother.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't let your younger brother do that. You can't let your younger brother do that.
You can't let that happen.
Like the parents watching that will be like
that's our favorite. They're both pro, but
it's our favorite. It's our favorite.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the league talk we were supposed to get into.
Yeah, that was all to say that Sporting probably going to win the Portuguese league. And it sucks, man.
It sucks?
It does suck.
Yeah. How much does it suck?
I'll be pissed for a couple days.
Okay, compare this to, let's say, the Leafs get eliminated. Which one are you most upset about?
Ooh, that's a great question.
This is like he doesn't even like the Leafs, like at all.
The Leafs this season I'm more into also because I'm financially motivated and I'm doing well. So I'm not catching as much of a bag if the Leafs do badly.
Right,
no, probably Benfica still though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm all not. Right. I'm not like crazy, like delusional.
I kind of am noticing that a little bit. Leafs fans are like a little bit like Arsenal fans.
Oh my god, here we go.
Yeah.
They're mighty annoying.
They can be, but like that's just sports in general. Yeah, you'll be a flip-flop. Like game 5 reactions was I fucking hate this team. Game 6 reaction was oh, we're going all the way, baby. We want Florida.
Yeah, fair.
Like
well, it's also like you have to realize this team has been starved just like Arsenal. That's why I said the comparison is so like good. Because both these teams have been starved for a title for so long. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, we won an FA Cup. Yeah, the Leafs have won a couple rounds. But like the big fish has never been there.
Yeah.
In recent history. That's why these fans, that's why everyone hates on our fans too. Because yeah, we talk a lot. But it's like everyone also likes to hate us. Like the Leafs are by far the most hated team in the NHL. And Arsenal are one of the most hated teams in the Premier League. Like I think they're up there. I think they might be one. Maybe United one and then Arsenal two.
Sure.
City are hated. Because they're like annoying, they're hated because they were good.
Yeah.
Liverpool is kind of more like nation rivalry.
Everybody hates a team more than they hate Liverpool.
Yeah.
No.
And then
except Everton.
Tottenham's just irrelevant. So and then Chelsea is again Chelsea.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Fair enough. All right. This has been a weird pod so far.
Yeah.
Let's actually get into some of the Premier League stuff because like I know it doesn't matter that much, but I want to touch on United. They lost at the weekend, but we can skim over that because the kids played. Like, doesn't matter that much. I want to talk about their Europa League game. Yes. I want to talk about them going to Bilbao.
So lucky, dude. All that hype.
So lucky.
From you two as well. Talking about how Bilbao was going to whoop us around.
You have to look at it in context.
Yes, you do.
Like, you really do.
The game was ruined.
No, the game was not ruined.
Well, it was ruined. Like, competitive.
The game was not ruined. We went 1-0 up, and then we got the penalty.
I see where he's coming from when he says the game was ruined. It's the right call, I think. Ultimately, sure. It is the right call.
Yes.
But it kills the dynamic of a football.
You were talking about the penalty right.
It kills the tie. It kills the tie. It kills any suspense going into the
Blame third, Vivian for that.
Yes. No, absolutely.
It's an unlucky red card. It's unlucky. Yes, it's a penalty.
Don't be grabbing the shoulder of a striker who has a wide open.
I don't know. I've seen that call given, and I've also seen that call not even given.
When?
So, like, I don't know. I mean, I can give you an exact date, but I've seen grabbing like that in the box when crosses go in every game. That one was quite blatant, so I understand where it's coming from. But yeah. A penalty and a red.
The fact of the matter is if Vivian doesn't pull Rasmus Højlund's shoulder, Rasmus Højlund scores.
Well,
yes, he does.
That's putting a lot of faith in Rasmus.
Yeah. Even if he only has like a 70% chance of scoring there, maybe he swings and misses. It's a clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity.
No, it is a red card. I'm not denying that.
And if he gets contact on that, that's a 0.99 XG. Like that is a goal, unless it's a miss of like crazy proportions.
9.5?
But the fact is, it's a clear and obvious goal scoring opportunity, a very good one at that. It's pretty much a guaranteed goal if Vivian doesn't pull his shoulder. So yes, sure. he should get a red card for that.
Take your red card.
But in terms of like from a neutral perspective, no one wanted to see that.
Yeah, it was boring.
I blame Vivian
for that, dude.
Sure, it's still boring.
Sure, it still kills the dynamic of the tie. It still kills any suspense going into that because let's be honest, your first 20 minutes, your first 15-20 minutes,
terrible.
Are horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they are horrendous.
Yeah, we play really.
No
really
one's
bad.
Putting a foot right. Ugarte is making so many mistakes.
Oh my god,
he kind of recovered towards the end of the game.
Yeah,
but man, he does not have the level.
He is. I can see. So much why PSG sold him.
Yeah.
Because he does not have technical quality to be in an Enrique system. And I'm worried that it doesn't work in most systems in 2025.
Yeah.
Because you just need to be sufficient on that side of the ball. I understand if you're like a deep lying six and a three, but if you're in a midfield pivot of two, then it's really tough to not have somebody in there that can... That could dictate play. And sometimes he has, obviously. And he got the goal in that game against Bilbao. And he got the goal against Leon. And he's put up good performances. I thought he was decent at the weekend as well. But there are some moments where I'm like, okay, cool. You can put in a good run of games in these fixtures where you're not getting tested as much. Mm-hmm. But if we want to be at the level that we have to be, I don't know if Ugarte is enough right now. He can develop. He can develop.
Going back to the double pivot thing, if when you're asked to drop deep to get the ball on the buildup and you can't turn around and have the technical ability to play a simple pass, there's a problem.
Yes.
There's a problem. I think he severely lacks that quality on the ball where all you need is a half turn. Under pressure, yeah.
Yes.
All you need is a half turn and just laying it off or a long ball. He can't do that. And he has proven that he can't do that over and over again this season.
Yeah.
Not just once. Not just against Bilbao in the beginning of the game.
Yes.
Multiple times a season. Even last season.
Yeah.
He loses a lot of balls for PSG.
Yeah.
He's dispossessed a lot of times just purely from a bad pass.
Yeah.
Purely because he can't turn.
Yeah. I think we put a bookmark in this argument and we see if United get to like a bit of a higher level where we start really talking about what we need to do to like get to that level that Emery wants us at, then we can have a serious conversation about Ugarte. Again, I hate it, but it is like the Onana situation where it's like there are a million other problems we need to solve before we start talking about this luxury issue of Ugarte, who has been playing well. You can't bring up his frailties on the ball without talking about...
It's the core of your game, though. It's like the heart of the team. The midfield is the heart of the team.
Of course.
I think you prioritize getting... replacing Ugarte, getting better quality player over Ugarte than you do with Onana.
He's also ran midfield at times where he will just be a dog and not let the other team get a hold of the ball
while he has
somebody next to him who is good on the ball that can kind of complement that frailty in his game. You know, I thought Casemiro was spectacular against Athletic Bilbao.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I don't want him necessarily gone because I still don't see a future for him at United with that high of a wage. Like, I'm being completely honest. But
how long is left on that? Not a lot. Not much longer.
A year or maybe 2 years. This is year 3 in his
contract. I think he's been getting too much hate, to be honest.
For year one, he was great.
He was
year
great
one, he was spectacular. Yeah. Year two, he's terrible. And he started this year terrible as well.
And he's been better, though.
Yeah, but like in the games that matter, but in the European games, especially in the Europa League this season, I thought he's been probably one of your best players, if not your best player.
Him, Maguire, and Bruno have been carrying us through the
100%.
Europa League.
100%. Yeah. Man, when would we have ever said Maguire carried United? That's crazy.
Right?
Maguire, bro.
Yeah.
It's not even just that. It was
Maguire.
Wow.
It was the winner against Leon. He got us an equalizer against Porto, I remember. He's come up with big goals this season. And on that goal against Leon, it was Casemiro sending the ball into him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Casemiro earning the penalty that sparked the comeback. Mm-hmm. Casemiro's been there for big moments, just like Harry Maguire has, just like Bruno has. And I think without any of those three, I don't know if we'd be in this position in the Europa League. So credit to all three of those. Casemiro, though, in particular, like, I don't want to just, like, revisit history and kind of forget that we kind of do need to move him on a little bit.
You do.
I think we do. Like, just because of the wage as well. Like, the wage is fucking ridiculous. Like, I want Saudi or somebody to come pick him up. Like, if we can't get him off his books, like, if we need to be like a, if it needs to be like a Rashford situation where we need to send him out on loan and still pay part of his wages, then we keep him at that point, whatever. But I don't want to be relying on Casemiro in 2026. And let's not pretend that that's acceptable. Right.
I do wonder what United's window is going to be like. Like, as a not big fan of them as a whole.
Yeah.
I am curious to see what their pull is going to be like. Because this is like, unless they win the Europa League, but let's just say they don't. This is like going to be the first time where it kind of seems like they really have no pull. Because even last year, like, you guys were bad, but you were still, like, you won the FA Cup. And what were you, eighth?
Yeah.
Again, all the teams have been that low before.
Yeah.
14th is, like, a new low standard for this club.
Yeah.
So I really want to see, like, where the pull is, what kind of players you are linked to, who actually does come. Because even Amorim was, like, talking about Gyökeres and said, you know, if he just wants to come here and play Champions League football, I don't want that. We want players who actually want to be for the club.
Yes.
So I'm just curious to see, like, what that window looks like for you guys.
Yeah.
Because, again, I hope it's kind of funny and I can laugh at it, but I'm genuinely curious as a footballing fan, like, how it goes.
I think Joseph's side, we are better than 14th, certainly. Like, especially in our last couple of games, I've seen the vision of Amorim a lot more. It's just been either silly mistakes, from youngsters, but like even yesterday against Brentford, like we got more XG than them. Like we did better even with kids on the field than Brentford at home. Brentford at home has been like a fortress this year. And we went there and like we didn't play spectacular whatsoever. But it was with the kids and like I'm not that worried about it. Again, like Amorim said when he came, this is not at all about results in the Premier League. Like, we're not lucky enough to be in that position where results matter. We're at the stage of the season where all we're trying to worry about is next season. Unless it's the Europa League, of course. Then that's where we play. That's where we play the big guys. But I do think we're a lot better than 14th. Like, if we're being 100% real, we are much better than 14th. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know where we are next year. I would hope for some progression. I hope to play or to qualify in the league for some kind of Europe next year, but I still see City, Liverpool, Arsenal obviously being better than us.
Chelsea
being better than us. I see Villa probably still being better than us.
Yeah.
Villa are weird, man. Not to go off
the tangent. The project for Villa has been going on for much longer than United. So you would just expect off of pure experience and like style of play that they know how to handle the Premier League.
Like Forest could get picked off. Forest can get their best players picked off. I don't know. Oh. Forest can get their best players picked off. Bournemouth, I think, will have a lot of their best players picked off. Mm-hmm. So I expect them to not be anywhere near how good they are this year. Brighton may have some stars that they sell. I feel like I'm forgetting a couple of
names. I think I'm forgetting one team.
Spurs, I don't think, will be that much. I mean,
you
much.
Could put Forest in there if you want, but...
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe, but...
Like, when is this Villa project... It's kind of reaching its end, no?
You think?
No. Why?
Depends. Like, they can sell Watkins in the summer, but...
Like, their squad isn't necessarily young. Like, obviously they have Rodgers.
Well, it depends what they do in the summer themselves, right?
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, I think this season, again, definitely a good season for them. You can't deny it. But in the league, they're seventh. Like, that's what I mean by...
Where do you expect them to be?
If they make it to a quarterfinals of the Champions League, don't you expect them to be...
But there's still levels. Like you.
But they're not going to make the Champions League next season at this point.
Okay. I wouldn't expect them off the Premier League alone for them to make Champions League. I wouldn't expect Newcastle. Them to finish top three, top four, top five. No, I wouldn't. I think the project's going well. And you think of all the money that they've earned from previous transfers, this winter specifically with John Duran, they still have money to spend on some players.
So let me revise my statement. Okay. Not is the project finished, but is this as high as it can go?
With this current crop of players. Perhaps. However, they can bring in more players.
Sure, they can, but those players have to be... they're not going to bring in Gyökeres here. Like, they're going to have to find, like, an Isaac who, sure, was highly touted, but wasn't at the stage where he was touted by absolutely everyone.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Like, when Newcastle...
And they could do that.
They totally could, but it's easier said than done. I'm just looking at it from, you just talked about all these teams that are going to be better... than United next season. All these teams could very much so also be better than Villa.
I forgot City.
No, you said City.
Oh, you said City?
I forgot Newcastle.
Oh, okay.
Newcastle. Like,
Liverpool, Arsenal, City, Newcastle, Chelsea, Forest, Bournemouth, Brentford, Brighton. Like, I know Villa's obviously in that crop, but we just have to see what they do in the window, I guess. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with a bunch of these teams.
That's exactly it. But I do think United are much better. Like, I see us struggling if we're in the Champions League alongside the league. I think we'll do worse in the league naturally. I think if we have a Chelsea year where it's just no Europe into next year and it's literally just rebuild year, then I could see us doing okay. You never know what to expect at the end of the day. Like, after that season with Ali and then Rangnick, Ten Hag came in and I remember every United fan was like, sixth place and we'll be happy. We're in such a rough spot. Like, and
you're 15th now, by the way. Sorry, not 14th.
Thank you for the correction, Blake. Yeah. But we ended up coming third, a very solid third. Mm-hmm. And we were miles better than anybody predicted that we would be. And the next year we said, okay, United could even challenge for a title this year. And then we come eighth. Football is just so unpredictable, especially with United. I feel like every single season I have any expectation for this team, we end up doing horrible. Anytime I go in, just... with my expectations on the floor, we end up doing really well.
So you know what to do next season,
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Can I ask you then, if you think you're so much better than 15th, where do you think you should be in the league?
I think we are the ninth best team in the league.
Ninth best team right now is Brentford with 52 points, which means you would have to have 12 points. Sorry, 11 points.
We're 12 points back on them.
Yeah, 12 points back. Nope. Yeah. 13 points back. You're not 13 points better. You're just not.
We're not 13 points better, but I think like
what?
No, I'm not saying like we've gotten unlucky and we deserve 13 more points than this is. No, I'm not saying that whatsoever. We've been shit this year. Brentford have been a much better side than us over the season, 100%. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying if you were to put money on who's going to finish higher next season.
Fair.
Then I do think like I think
like back I th- your team sure
I think Tottenham will do better than Everton, than Wolves, than Crystal Palace, than Fulham, than Brighton. I do think that the reason we're criticizing these teams so much is because they do have the talent to be a good team, right? And Ange is a good manager, and Amorim is a good manager, and we have not had the cohesiveness, and we are behind in our rebuild, but. You have to be lying to yourself to say we don't have the pieces to be at least better than a Brentford.
I guess, but if you had the pieces, you have the pieces this year to be... If you're talking about your squad right now is better than Brentford, then why weren't you
exactly above them? No, exactly. And we've talked to extreme lengths why United isn't in that position this year. Like, I do think the players have severely underperformed their level, but that's exactly the word, underperformed. Because we know their level. We know what they can do. Even fucking Antony, bro. Look at him at Betis, bro. We know how good these players can be. Fair. I know, like, the United culture is toxic and all of that, but we're so hard on United because even, like, we know how good they can be. Mm. That is the problem. That's what I'm saying here is sure. We can be better than these teams
if we put it together. I do want to say that I think the Tottenham and United season this season should never be forgotten, ever. I think we should, as rival fans, maybe not you as much, but as rival fans, we should never let them live this down. because during the Arsenal banter era, the worst we got was like 8th.
Yeah.
And that was our banter era.
Right.
And that's why I get so frustrated with them, like, just, you know, oh, we're just like waltzing our way to a 15th place finish. Oh, we lost to Brentford. We played the kids. No, that didn't happen when my team was in fucking 8th place.
So what happens if they win the Europa League then?
Yeah.
Are we still?
It's so which, if you want, I can get on to my next point. If I can move on to, unless you have more stuff to
go
say.
Go on.
Which I was going to say, we can go back to this debate once again, as we did last year. If Tottenham or United win the Europa League, is it a better season than Arsenal?
No.
Season? What the? It just depends what you define as, like,
overall season.
What do you define a season as? Winning trophies or performing well? Because let's be honest, Arsenal are going to come short maybe in every single tournament that they're played in, plus the league, unless they actually beat PSG and then win in the final. And then you look at United or Tottenham, if they win, they would have actually won a trophy.
No.
So it just depends what you define, like, as a successful season. Like, what is the defining factor of a successful season?
Exactly. What is a successful season for Arsenal this year, and have you reached it?
It's, you said it at the beginning.
United is not a successful season. Has Arsenal had a successful season if you lose to PSG?
No.
Thank you.
No, you haven't.
No.
No. I think City have also not a successful season.
Yeah.
Chelsea, you could say, had a success. Yeah. Liverpool, obviously, is a success. Villa's a success.
It's just an interesting narrative, right? Because we've talked about this before, too, but people in sports in general hold winning trophies, winning titles to such a high regard that, like, sometimes we need to take a step back and realize that it's not all about that.
We are in a position to win a trophy this year, United, because we're so shit.
Yeah.
If Arsenal...
What do you mean, because we're so shit?
Because we weren't in a position to be in the Champions League.
Okay.
If Arsenal were in this Europa League, they would probably win it. We can agree on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I can't knock them for not being in the Europa League to then win a trophy, you know? Like,
that's fair.
They can't be jealous of us winning the Europa League because they're too good for the Europa League.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, that's a very good way to put
it. Do you know what I mean? Like, United are in the Europa League and in a position to win a trophy because we were so ass last season to not finish in the European spots and then won the FA Cup.
I guess.
Right.
That's why we're here.
That's a good way to put it, actually.
You're also undefeated in the Europa League, though, so you can't look past that either.
That's a good achievement, for sure. For sure.
But it's not, I think, comparable, is what you're saying.
What defines successful season for any team, no matter what competition you're in, What was the expectation at the start of the year, and where are you now?
Yeah, it's not similar.
And in that, and in that sense,
see, that's, but then how does it, not to interrupt you, but how does
not
it,
for every team, but for a team like United who aren't performing very well, I think it would still save the season in some way. You're making Champions League, you're getting a trophy.
We're gonna feel better.
I wouldn't define it as a good European season, sure. A horrible league season.
I will go into the summer feeling a lot better if United win the
Mm-hmm. It's like last year when they won the FA Cup, although they had a very bad season in the league, there was still that kind of that hope and that optimism when they won the FA Cup.
It will make me accept this bad season much easier. It will make me remember this season a lot easier. Just like I remember last season a lot easier, because you tend to remember the good moments, right? Like beating City.
It's also,
right?
Sorry.
But like, yes, I can accept that last season was bad, but even though that is a good moment, I can accept this season being bad, not accept, but like, I will grapple with it easier if we win the Europa League, and I'll feel much better about United going into the summer. Everybody will. But you can't accept being 15th from United.
Yeah.
This also brings up the argument of, on the Tottenham side of things, should Ange still get sacked if they win the Europa League?
I've actually thought about it. Like, I don't know if... I don't think Ange should get sacked, period.
You don't think Ange should get sacked, period?
The more I thought about it, the more I'm like...
Because if Ange should get sacked,
I don't know, man.
Why shouldn't Amorim get sacked?
Well,
it was different.
Okay, Ange's been here a lot longer.
What's different, though?
The difference is that Amorim has been there for 6 months and Ange has been there for 2 years. That's a simple difference.
That is a big difference.
I suppose, however, if you look at it from a simply league table perspective, Amorim's definitely on the negative, and so is Ange from the last 6 months or whatever. So, again, looking at just from the league table point of view, they both negatively have impacted their teams from a league position standpoint, which, again, is not totally what matters. You have to look at it with context, of course, but I do still think Ange gets sacked, though.
I think he should as well.
I don't know. I'm flip-flopping, man.
Like, you're right. I like to shit on you, but you're right. You watch United play, and there does seem to be some sort of sprinkle of sauce, some sort of sprinkle of a system that you could kind of see working out for them in the
future. I see that with Ange, bro. I don't. I see that with Tottenham.
He's too stubborn. He is too stubborn with the way he fits players into.
That is fair. But
he's
stubborn. But I was thinking about this the other day. Like, Hansi Flick is stubborn. Hansi Flick is stubborn as a bitch. He'll never change his system with Barcelona. And they have a very similar one to Tottenham. But just because of the players that they have, and since they're putting up great individual performances, that system works so well.
Do you remember when Ancelotti was at
Everton?
Everton?
No.
Well, he did decent for them.
Yeah.
He didn't do bad at all.
Yeah, he did great with Everton. What are you saying?
I'm saying sometimes, like, the players that you have are also a reflection of what the manager can do.
Mm-hmm.
That Everton team is looked at now as a team that overperformed.
Yeah.
So was that a credit to their manager? Was that a credit to the players? Or was it both? Obviously, Ancelotti has gone on to, well, even before that, but his whole career, he's had very good players mm-hmm. to coach. But also, I thought he had a really good squad at that Everton
side. Yeah, he had
Does Ange have that same squad with Tottenham? Or is it that they don't mesh together? Because if Ancelotti could get out of Everton with a certain amount of squad quality that he had, do we expect Ange to do it with a certain amount of squad quality that Tottenham also have? Or is it just a match that isn't working?
What is the Tottenham team at the moment? That's the question. They're in such a transition time from the Kane and Son era to now, like, maybe like Madison, Solanke, with the youngsters coming through as well. They're in such a transitional phase that maybe just keeping the manager there for a little bit longer will benefit them. Like, what is this Tottenham team? Heung-min Son needs to go. Right?
Yeah.
Madison gets chronically injured, though he's spectacular when he plays, right? Solanke is inconsistent.
Mm.
I don't see these as issues that solve themselves if the manager leaves. And I've also been thinking a little bit about, okay, what's the alternative if Ange leaves? I think you've sold me a little bit on the Roma manager, former Roma manager. What's his name
again?
De Rossi. What's the sell there? I don't see him coming to Tottenham and leading them through a project, which is what they need, a project, and him taking them to trophies or what have you.
But that's also, before you go, unless you...
No,
I was going to say that's also an issue with the way Tottenham hire managers. They don't hire project managers.
Hmm.
They hire win-now managers. They hire Mourinho. They hire...
Ange was not a win-now manager.
Oh, yeah.
He's been the first one.
Yeah.
But ever since before, they haven't hired like a project... I guess Nuno kind of, but he also was coming off of a good season. So, like, you know, they haven't really hired that you need to get me over the line kind of manager. You need to, they always go for the ones that just want to.
That doesn't mean that
Ange
can't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Arteta was your rebuild manager. Right? He was Arsenal's rebuild manager. Some debate still up in the air of whether he is the take them to the next level type of manager, but. Mm-hmm. Like, fact of the matter is, like, look how much improvement you've seen under Arteta. Yeah, like, you would not have seen this coming in quarantine era, you know? Like, that's just how it is. Like, I think Spurs need recruitment. They need backups. They need a squad. They need a healthy team because they have not had that at all this season.
Yeah, that is one thing.
And they need players to rely on. They need to bring in players that they could rely on. I think good recruitment solves this issue for them.
Again, injuries are injuries. Like, everyone can make that excuse.
But in all fairness to Tottenham, I don't like them just as much as you don't like them. But they've had that excuse more than anybody this
so
year.
So why can't I make that excuse about Arsenal in the Champions League? You guys yelled at me specifically for saying that.
Well,
you don't
that.
Have to play like Miles Lewis-Skelly at center back.
No, we have to play Miles Lewis-Skelly at left back because
that's his position.
No, it's not. No, it's fucking not. He's a midfielder, actually.
Okay, but what?
He's playing as an inverted.
Oh my god! See,
like
again,
he's been,
why are we changing the goalposts? I hate that.
But mate, no, I'm not changing the goalposts.
No,
and we don't have to relate this to Arsenal at all. Like, the fact of the matter is, for the longest portion of Tottenham season, they've played Archie Gray.
At center back,
partnered up with who?
Great question.
Ben Davies at times, Dragosin.
Man,
yeah.
Like these are. This is not even Premier League level we're talking about. Like there is having to play Miles Lewis-Skelly in Calafiori's position to come in and do even better. And like, yeah, without hindsight, that looked really bad because we didn't know the talent that Miles Lewis-Skelly was. Now we do. what I'm saying is that, like, it gets to a level where you're playing an 18-year-old midfielder at center back, and you can't have any expectation for him, or you can't be surprised when it does inevitably go wrong. Remember that game at home for Tottenham where they conceded like six at Liverpool? That defense and setup was some of the worst I've seen. And partly because of that was because Ange still wouldn't change the system. Hmm. I think they scored three in that game, whatever. But like, they need, but for the Ange system to work, and that's what the target is here for Tottenham, they need center backs. Yeah. They need center backs, period. You know? So that's why I think recruitment is so important.
You might have sold me on the recruitment bit and how Ange maybe should stay a season or two.
And if they do bring players in and they're still this bad in October, sack the manager.
Okay.
Like the board, if the board is competent, they'll have a list of three or more managers as options. Just in case something comes up where we do need to sack the manager. Mm. And they should keep in contact with those managers' agents and have that option in mind, you know?
Yeah.
Just in case. Be prepared to sack Ange, but don't do it just yet.
I can't help but focus on the side of the argument that this is Tottenham's worst league position, maybe in forever. They're 17th or 16th, one spot above relegation, one or two spots above relegation. Like, you cannot look past that, in my opinion.
I was at that point at some, like I think I literally made that point a couple of months ago, where it's like, where's the line in the sand where you cross and then go like, okay, we cannot be accepting this no matter the excuses. Mm-hmm. I just think once again, like, Tottenham's problems run so much wider than just the manager. I don't think any manager comes into Tottenham and saves them right now.
That's fair enough.
You know?
I would agree.
So maybe De Rossi they have on standby. Maybe a Southgate. And they would do that too.
You think so?
I think they would.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, man. Shall we move on to some more league action from maybe other countries?
Yeah.
Unless you want to touch on that Liverpool-Chelsea game, but I just don't think there's not many implications apart from Chelsea still pushing for a Champions League spot. About.
Yeah, and the Champions League race as of right now is looking like City in third with 64 points, Newcastle 1 point behind them in fourth, Chelsea level on points with Newcastle, 1 point behind third as well, they're in fifth, and then Nottingham Forest a little bit more behind in sixth. So the top five look a little bit set. Actually, no, Nottingham Forest do have a game in hand, so it is very, very close. And then that would put them on level with Liverpool. Okay, so it is a little bit there still. It so is. Remaining fixtures next week is Newcastle versus Chelsea. That's gonna be big.
That's a big game.
That's gonna be big. Also, Liverpool Arsenal. Is your next league game, which I didn't realize.
Much emotion.
I think if you lose,
have a reaction. Like, I just want to win to tie up second place or whatever. But
okay,
yeah.
Does second place matter that much to you?
No, okay. I mean, just
you're not gonna fall out of top five.
Yeah, I mean, just to get it over with. That's really all I care about.
Yeah. You if you do lose to Liverpool, you are kind of dragged into that conversation a little bit. I don't think you will get it because your next games after Liverpool are Fulham. No, hold on. Your next games after Liverpool are Newcastle. Tough to be fair, but then Southampton.
Yeah,
you just need one win in these next three games to secure second place or top four, and you got it pretty much. So you're fine. Mm-hmm. You're fine. The conversation about Arsenal not making top five is ridiculous. I think it's just people reaching.
It is.
It's
like a math, almost mathematically impossible.
You and City both have it locked up. It's literally just the other two.
Arsenal losing, everyone to win. Mm.
I think the current top five is how it's going to finish.
Sure.
Personally.
Sad for Nottingham Forest a little bit. Mm-hmm. Who, although will make Europe, it would have been nice to see them in the Champions League this season.
Yeah.
Or next season, I mean.
I think they'll take the Europa League because it gives them a chance to actually win that tournament.
They just had a terrible run of form. Like I said, 2-1 to Villa, 1-0 loss to Everton. They beat Spurs, of course.
Yeah.
Then 2-0 to the City.
Yeah.
And then 2-0 to Brentford.
They play today, actually.
That's why I think Forest will be a lot worse next year because Thursday, Sunday is tough as well.
It is.
For a team that
plus for a team
is going from no Europe at all to that.
And for a team that will probably get rinsed of most of their best players.
Yes, that as well.
Yeah.
Will they though?
You think they won't?
Like, who's going?
Gibbs-White is linked to City.
Gibbs-White, I can see leaving. Mario's leaving. What is staying? Mario's going to stay.
No, he's leaving. Mario is leaving. He's going to be a top center back.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe. Okay.
Hudson-Odoi probably should leave.
But again, like, someone like Hudson-Odoi and Alanga, it's like, this is like their second wind. You know what I mean? Like, they were touted coming out of their respective academies, and then they moved, and then they kind of...
And there's a lot of chemistry in that team as well.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't know if it's the right move for that. I mean, hey, money talks, but...
If you look at it from a pure career perspective, from like the individual players themselves, I think they need to step up.
But if they prove,
but they prove, but they prove that they can do it at this top level.
If a Tottenham... Is one season proving it? No.
It absolutely is. No, it's not. In the Premier League, yes, it is.
No, it's not. One season wonders have happened like so many times.
Well, they're not one-season wonders because they've also played for other teams and done fairly well for other teams. Yeah,
Alanga was
well.
Great for United.
He wasn't bad.
No, he started playing really well last year.
Hudson-Odoi has a couple good Champions League appearances under Chelsea as well.
A couple. Again, sure.
You're looking at this Alanga and Hudson-Odoi season and telling me they shouldn't be playing at a better club?
Well, I think they're right at Nottingham Forest level, sixth place.
They have youngsters coming through as well.
Like I don't know why you're acting like these guys are world class.
I'm not.
So if they want to go to another, let's do this. Does Alanga get in for?
Why are we restricted to only the Premier League?
Because that's what I'm looking at right now.
If a Spurs come calling for Hudson-Odoi, Alanga, or Ola Aina, do those players go?
Depends what the project is. Depends if again they keep the manager, sack the manager, whoever comes in next.
Like, would Chelsea take an Alanga right now? Probably no. Not.
They're no, stacked they with players.
They would wouldn't. City? No. Arsenal? Maybe. But
Spurs?
No.
Why don't Arsenal look for Hudson-Odoi?
No, any better than that. That's what I'm saying. You don't, like, if Arsenal signed Hudson-Odoi right now, I'd be disappointed.
Okay.
Wouldn't you?
As a backup, like, I wouldn't mind.
We don't need a backup. We need a left winger.
Yeah, but if you sign him and an actual starter, then...
I still think
it's a step up in his career. He needs a step up in his career. I'm talking from if he looks at it, if he... He's in his room thinking about his career. Does he think that he should stay out of Nottingham Forest? I don't think he does.
He's only 24. Like, exactly. If you think he's that worth, if you think he's that good, sure. Then I can buy my words.
So you don't think to his beliefs that he should be playing at a different
club? I think he's right where he belongs. I'm not saying he can't move.
He thinks that?
I don't know. I'm not his brain. I just think he's not that good. Like, he's great, but he's not like you're giving him a lot of praise here.
I just think Nottingham Forest will probably go on a little downfall next season. And if he should probably move clubs before that happens.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, we can go international.
Fair to say that. Do you want to talk about the Arsenal game a little bit?
No.
There's nothing really to talk about.
What do you want me to say?
Well, I mean, Arsenal played their full strength 11 at home versus Bournemouth. Was it at home?
Yeah.
It was at home.
It was at home.
And they lost.
And they lost. Two home losses in a row.
Great.
Yeah.
On to Wednesday.
If it was just your kids playing, then like I wouldn't bat two eyes at it. But it's the fact that it's your full strength 11.
Then you can analyze it in your own brain. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care.
It really has no significant impact.
I think it shouldn't matter with like if being like a dress rehearsal for PSG.
But it's not a dress rehearsal.
You played your starting 11.
Well, Marino wasn't there. We're gonna play Marino up top. He didn't start up top.
Did you play your midfield three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You played Partey, Rice, Odegaard. Yeah.
But like I said, it wasn't the exact same. It's not the 11 I would put out. Marino is a big focal point, a big difference in the way we play. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Again, we would have liked to win, but oh well. Like, what do you want me to say? You want me to scream and shout and say, oh my God, they lost against Bournemouth and that means we are going to lose against PSG. Oh no, it's over. Is that what you want from me? Like, I don't care. I just don't. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that they go out on Wednesday. They fucking fight for every ball. They're horned up to win every challenge. They're brave. They attack with fucking fancy skills and you know, and they play the way that they've always played in the Champions League this season. That's what I care about. I don't care about a loss against Bournemouth in a season that has been done since January. I do not care. I'm over it. I don't care. Again, after Wednesday, if we do somehow lose and we do go out of the Champions League, sure. Let's wrap up the Premier League. We ride off into a pretty sad sunset for this season, but at least it's over. Mm. This game right here, whatever.
What were you saying about Arteta's position at the start of the season? Was it trophy or bust?
I don't know. I didn't say that.
I think it was major trophy or bust.
I said no. That's I didn't say about Arteta. I said for this season. I said you want to go for a major trophy or it's a disappointing season. Sure. But again, context. Now I have context. I'm not Arteta out. I never was Arteta out. I'm not going to be Arteta out. If you want to ask me next season, you know what? They could probably still not win it. I probably still wouldn't be Arteta out because he's done a lot for us.
But how much longer can you keep saying he's done so much for us?
I mean, shit. This rebuild has been fast-tracked how long? Bukayo Saka is 23. He is 23.
Like, this team is not much better, if better at all, than the Arsene Wenger, like, 2014 era Arsenal, where you guys were winning trophies, like the FA Cup.
You're so wrong. You were perennially top four. You are so wrong. We were never close to a Premier League title with Arsene Wenger, besides the Leicester year when everyone fell off. You are so wrong. The defense in this...
But the point totals will be very similar.
But I don't give a shit about the point totals. I give a shit about the players that are on the pitch. The defense that we have right now is nowhere near what it was with Koscielny and Mertesacker.
100%.
This defense is so much better. This midfield, we never had a dog like Declan Rice. And let's say Odegaard is somewhere in the middle between where he was last season and what he is this season, next season. Let's say he's somewhere in the middle. That two alone is nowhere near. We never had the firepower like that in midfield.
That is fair enough. I will also say that the level that this team achieved is not that much better, if better at all. Even though you have better players now, sure, the level to which you're doing with those players is not much more than you were doing in the Arsene Wenger days when it was Wenger out.
Semifinals of a Champions League. That's two stages better than we've ever gotten with Wenger. Post 2004 or whatever the fuck, 2006, whatever it was.
I just think you were winning trophies then in a much more like...
We were winning FA Cups, Julian. Those aren't trophies that we would have wanted anyway. We wanted them at the time. Arteta won a fucking trophy with this team.
You also have to look at the coherence in the game. They're playing much better football right now.
They are playing much better football. But I'm just saying the level of achievement is not that much different. And the pressure on the manager is worlds apart.
So that's why I don't understand why you just give Amorim the pass here. If Tottenham win next week and you guys lose, Tottenham go above you. Then you're 16. I don't give a fuck if it's been fucking 6 months. You're so quick to judge other managers. But when it comes to your guy, you know, he has a project. It's been 6 months. Let's give him time. Why?
Because it's been 6 months compared to five.
You want to talk about the worst finish of all time in the history of the club? That's what Amorim's going to have on his resume for his first half season. If you're quick to judge other managers, you should look and at least somewhat scrutinize the fact that your manager may have had some frailties. And I know you do.
But I'm not quick to judge.
But you are.
And I'm not saying Arteta should go whatsoever. I'm just saying the exact point of this debate is that it has not been quick to judge. It's been years. It's been years of Arsenal being good enough to win a title or at least being in the conversation to win major trophies. It's been years of that now. I'm not jumping the gun. It's been 3 years where you're title worthy and you have not won any trophies.
So
let's just say how it is.
But the first year we weren't even supposed to do anything and we were just amazing.
You were amazing in the Europa League too, and you went out to Sporting. But I'm just saying. Like the fact of the matter is, this is not a quick judgment. This is not something that I just came up with right now because whatever. This has been a developing story for years now, and all I'm asking you, Blake, is how many more years of I like Arteta, he's done so much for us, can we take before we have those dark conversations about can another manager take us further? That's what this is about.
Many more years. Many more years. Okay. Unless we get like 10th next season.
You're not getting 10th next
because
season.
Because there's been a constant progression.
If you get second and go out in the Champions League again, even with this team, which is title worthy. I'll say how it is. When you guys are healthy, the team is title worthy. I think we can all agree on that.
It is.
Right?
I gave you my answer.
I'm not like.
I gave you my answer. I think he's a wonderful manager. I think he does get caught up in his tactics a little bit. Like mm-hmm. sometimes the line is too high in certain games, like against Bournemouth earlier in the season. Yeah. Sometimes he doesn't make the right substitutions at the right times.
Yeah.
But his system works. He learned from the best manager of all time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, maybe this is a better question, do you think there's a single manager on earth that could come into Arsenal today and finish with more points next season than you would under Arteta?
Off the top of my head, no.
No. Okay.
Probably not. The manager market isn't that crazy right now. Yeah.
No, I'm saying any manager on earth. Not okay. available ones, just any manager.
Sure. Fucking you yes. Want, yeah, if you want Pep to come in here, sure.
That's... Okay. It's just you, all...
That asking any that, manager. That question, yes, of course.
That what? Question is just basically asking, is there a better... Is Arteta the best manager?
Yeah, it's
in the
like
world?
You're trying to
no.
get a reaction out of me, Julian.
No.
Like, I don't understand what this I'm question is. Just... What if United gets 16th again next season? Are you going to be on Emery's ass? Yes, you will.
Yes.
So because... And again... I want to make this point that we've been, I don't even know how the fuck this podcast is going this long. We've been talking for ages.
I'm just asking how long can you take it?
I can take it for as much as we're still competing in a way that I see progression. Because this season, again, with the context behind it, we had so many injuries. It didn't go our way. Whatever. We still could have done better, but whatever. I can look at it and take it with a grain of salt and realize that it wasn't our year. It wasn't meant to be this season for the Premier League, yeah. at least. We signed a striker. We signed maybe one more center back to cover, and we signed a winger, and I think we go, and we're one of the best teams in Europe once again. We're one of the best teams in Europe this season with an attack that is fucking dog shit, with an attack that has a fucking midfielder at striker, with an attack that even when we did have our striker, is not a normal striker. Kai Havertz is not a normal striker. He is now. But still, our attack was dog shit for like the second half of the season. It was a makeshift attack. Martinelli has not been the same fucking guy he was 3 years ago. Our attack has been dog shit, yet somehow we are still fighting for the biggest trophy in Europe. That matters. You're sure. talking about Arteta like not being able to do it. He's doing it. He's proving it with this team, with a fucking 18-year-old at left back, which apparently is only like, it, which is okay for Arsenal to do because it worked out. But when Tottenham does it, oh, Ange has to play him there. I hated that argument, by the way. Hated that argument because you just... That pissed me off. But anyway.
Why? But
it's true. Arteta's so doing it.
Is in 3 years, Miles Lewis-Skelly going to be a midfielder for you guys? Is that the future? No, I'm not saying that to turn an argument. I'm just...
No, you are, though, because...
No, what? I didn't know, because I genuinely
why
didn't...
Is it,
I
why
didn't
is it Arteta's
know.
Fault?
No, it's
why
not
is it
Arteta's
no, no,
fault.
Why is it
I'm
Arteta's
not
fault
that
Miles Lewis-Skelly thrived at left back because he showed that it could work there and he has the facilities to do it there, that when Archie Gray... has to play at center back because Ange is too stubborn to put him anywhere else and play him in his natural position. That's not Arteta's fault. That's his managerial prowess showing. So he should be, that comparison shouldn't be like, ah, oh, like poor Archie Gray. Sure, you can say that, but it should also be, wow, great on Miles Lewis-Skelly, great on Mikel Arteta. That's what should come out of that conversation.
It is what I'm coming out with on that conversation. It is. What? I'm genuine. Because I genuinely, Blake, the only reason I bring that up is not to start an argument, is to say, like, all my life, I did not know that Miles Lewis-Skelly was a natural midfielder. Mm-hmm. I thought he came through the Arsenal Academy playing the same position and role that he was here. So that's why I bring that up.
Dude. Fair enough.
Okay.
Let's move.
yeah. Well, what time are we at? I feel like we're kind of long.
An hour.
Yeah.
Okay. So we can go quickly through the
15 minutes of international talk.
Yeah. Unless you want to go Trent quickly.
We're about to touch on Real Madrid, and then we can touch on Trent. Real Madrid with another win. Boy, Arda Güler coming up with a wonder goal.
Beautiful. Love that. Great from him. It doesn't prove that he should have been... Actually, it does. It proves that he should have been integrated into the squad much earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Because he also gets an assist to Mbappe, and I'm pretty sure last week he scored as well.
Yep.
It's blatant proof that, again, he should have been integrated in the squad and that Carlo Ancelotti kind of neglected him mm-hmm. as a squad player for his team. The fact that he wasn't featured against Arsenal he played 3 minutes or no, he played 0 minutes.
Yeah.
Played 0 minutes against Arsenal. I think that's criminal. Yeah. And now he's kind of proving everybody that he can play at that level. Maybe it's not the Champions League level, but there is still a player there that Real Madrid can kind of build around. And I think they should build around him. I think Arda Güler is that player that they should build
genuinely,
around.
Yeah.
Seriously. No. He is probably, I want to say, their most creative player.
Mm.
Jude is definitely up there for sure. But Arda Güler has that bit of magic to him that I don't see in other players. He has that spark in him that he can really truly flip a game on its head, whether it's with a decisive pass or a beautiful goal like he did against Celta Vigo.
Yeah.
I think he might be their most crucial, not crucial. He might be their most creative player for sure.
Yeah, fair. Then talk to me about Mbappe.
We were talking about Mbappe's worth to Real Madrid and if it's a good transfer or not. I think right now for Mbappe, the way we judge this season is if he wins the Pichichi or not, if he wins the best goal scorer in La Liga. I think his goal is Project Pichichi for this season. If he doesn't get that, then I would kind of regard it as a bad season. Now he has Lewa that's injured, who's one goal ahead of him in the standings. So there's he can get the award, can, and yeah. I think he should, because you're playing for Real Madrid as the top caliber player that you are. If you're not doing something right this season, then there's a problem.
Lewa on 25 and Mbappe on 24.
Exactly, yeah. So he scored two against Celta Vigo, two great goals. That should boost his confidence. I think, yeah, the Pichichi is what he should be going for sure.
Madrid's next four games is Barcelona away.
Yeah, we have an El Clasico on Sunday.
Yes, we do. They have Mallorca at home, Sevilla away, and Sociedad at home.
Not easy games.
Not easy games,
but it's possible.
I think it's over. Respect
for Real Madrid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Barca have.
Yeah.
They're going to secure the win.
If Madrid win on Sunday,
then it's back on.
Then it's back on.
Because what's the point gap? Three? Six?
Four.
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 It's awkward.
Okay. I think if Real Madrid would have lost to Celta Vigo, then Barca would have had a chance to win the title against Real Madrid in the El Clasico. That would have been insane. But now, if we're following the trends of this season, Barcelona should win against Real Madrid in the El Clasico on Sunday and ultimately should get the title. Like, let's be honest. Yeah. They've been the better team. They've been the most consistent team.
It's not over yet.
Between the two. It's not over yet.
Definitely 91 fucking goals this season for Barca.
It's insane, dude.
Yeah, that's nuts.
The goal difference is.
Take in. Messi had that by himself in 1 year.
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
In way more than 34 games.
Yes.
Yeah.
In the calendar year.
Yes. I was like, what the fuck?
So Trent is confirmed to be leaving. He had his little farewell. Liverpool, I love you.
Not enough though.
Genuinely, if anyone hates on him for leaving, I think they are just don't understand sport. Trent has won everything with Liverpool. He wants to go to his dream club of Real Madrid. There is nothing wrong with that. He wasn't Gerrard that never won a Premier
League. But why is Real Madrid his dream club?
Why the fuck is United your dream club? You're not from England.
What?
Why is United your favorite club?
For the same reason. Well, I mean, for less of a reason than Trent is a boyhood Liverpool fan. Trent is a boyhood Liverpool fan, just like Steven Gerrard was and everything. And yes, like we can get into the debate that what does he owe Liverpool at this point? Like he doesn't owe Liverpool anything, exactly. Sure. But I'm just like,
what do you mean? Why? Why do people want to go to the Lakers? Why do people want to go to the Yankees? Because it's the biggest organization. He's done everything. He's regarded as maybe the best Premier League right back in history. He's won multiple Premier League titles, won a Champions League. He's done everything for the club. He's given everything for them.
Yes. It's his choice. It's completely his choice. I just question why he wants that choice.
Because for his career's sake, this is the most logical move. I've said this before. He has the opportunity of becoming the best right back of all time. He seriously does. He has been the best right back in the history of the Premier League for some people. Certainly to me, because I don't think we've seen a right back with his technical quality and his ability to impact the game as much
since
as
Hector Bellerin, bro.
Bro.
Okay.
What the fuck was
what
that?
What the fuck?
Lad. No, but next up, there, anyway. Stop. We haven't seen a right back with the ability to impact a game as much as Trent Alexander-Arnold in the Premier League ever. That's simple. By going to Real Madrid, he has that opportunity of becoming the best right back of all time because he will be doing it on the biggest stage for the biggest team of all time, for the team that probably will win the most Champions League within the next 10 years. It's as simple as that. He has the best chance to elevate his career by going to Real Madrid, and that's exactly what he's doing. And the people that are hating on him, they're only Liverpool fans because they want him to stay. But obviously, yeah. he's a boyhood Liverpool fan, and they
have a right to be mad.
There's an emotional attachment there,
and
for sure.
They have a right to be mad.
But if you take the bias out and you look at it from a career move, from a career standpoint, from his individual standpoint, it makes sense. It makes absolute sense. And I personally think that the Liverpool fans should be happy for him.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. He's given everything.
I would be happy for him too. Like I'll make that clear. Like I'm just trying to play devil's advocate as to why, like, Trent being a boyhood Liverpool fan, for being there for 20 plus years, would want to leave at that point. If this was Liverpool of like a couple of seasons ago where they were struggling for top four and he was a big fish in a small pond and Liverpool looked miles off it and the Arne Slot project didn't work and they didn't look like they were going to be challenging for Premier Leagues, Champions Leagues, any of that for the upcoming years, then I would completely, completely understand this move. As a Liverpool fan, why I would be looking at this with a little bit of sadness, it's kind of like the Kawhi situation with Toronto. You have such a promising situation that you're in currently. You have a star new manager who just came in and revitalized your entire team. You have young pieces around you who look spectacular as well. You have arguably the best player on the planet this season. You have means to replace that star player once he does move on, even though he's getting up there in age. You have pieces that could create Premier League winners, Champions League winners for years and years and years to come. Still, genuinely, I do believe that not as much as you would at Real Madrid, of course, but also at Real Madrid, you're not going to be anywhere near the reason or lauded as much as you would be at Liverpool, even if you win a couple of more trophies than you would in Merseyside, what have you. I just question that Trent, being a Liverpool fan, losing to Madrid specifically so much over the years in 2018, 2022, I think 2021 as well in the quarters, or around 16,
you
whatever.
Beat them this year.
Yeah.
You're looking so far into this, dude.
I just question why. Like, you say take the bias out of it. I say, why doesn't Trent have that bias himself?
Because he doesn't want to.
It's purely a name thing.
You say Liverpool fans will be looking at it with bias, but Trent's a Liverpool fan too.
Yeah, but they can be mad. But from a neutral perspective, like Antoine said, you can't look at this other than a move that will help him and his career and what he wants to do. Also, it's his fucking career. He can do what the fuck he wants. Now, if he didn't win the Premier League, if he didn't win the Champions League with Liverpool, then we can have a conversation about it truly being a snake job, truly having bad blood whilst he left to go to Real Madrid.
That's another good side to look at it from.
He's done everything.
It's a great point.
True. That's another great point as well.
You're playing for Real Madrid. That's the end of the argument. You're playing for the best team of all time. You can say that you've played for that club. You've worn that shirt. I think it's a no-brainer. Even with all the excitement surrounding the Liverpool project and everything that's been going on with extending all their best players, Van Dijk, Salah, all this, and they just won the Premier League, there's hype for the Champions League next year, all this, even with all this, I seriously think that the best move for him is Real Madrid.
Fair.
But well, I kind of see where you're coming from. Like, you were making sense in that.
Like, I don't see as much like career. I think it's the easy option. It is the easy option. Like,
easy,
say,
option staying at Liverpool. No.
Like, no, I think the much harder option is staying at Liverpool. I think, say, if Mbappe went to Arsenal last summer, that's the harder option. That's the, you might not win as many trophies as you will at Real Madrid, but you know what? Those trophies that you do win are going to mean so much more to your career and the fans that love you if you do make success with Arsenal. Just like if Trent keeps winning at Liverpool, he would go down as the greatest Liverpool player of all time, even above Steven Gerrard, even above Mo Salah, even above all these players. He would be Mr. Liverpool. The statue would be built if it's not being built already. I think it shows, like, I don't want to say a lack of ambition, but like, you're not challenging yourself as much going around Madrid. That's plain and simple. Why? Yeah, you're no, I don't think you
Why?
Are. I
Why
think
not?
if you're going to Real Madrid, you're having so much more help than you are at Liverpool. Like, if I think both teams have the talent on a good day to make it far in the Champions League and win league titles, but it's going to be a much harder challenge at Liverpool doing that, because you're going to be such a bigger piece of that puzzle. So you're going to be relied on way more. You're going to be like, if he's not doing well at Real Madrid, yeah, it'll be important, but like, He's not going there as
one of the biggest problems. Sorry to cut you. One of the biggest problems this season for Real Madrid was the fact that Dani Carvajal got injured and they didn't have a right back. That is probably one of the biggest reasons why they've underperformed, because they've had to play Valverde at right back and not in his in the midfield position that he thrives in. Yes, he's done a great job at right back for Real Madrid, but you're saying that it's a safer choice going to Real Madrid. I don't think it is. They just lost the Champions League. They're low-key crumbling. Like, this has been an embarrassing season for Real Madrid. We've spoken about it many, many times. Their manager's leaving. They don't know who's going to be their manager next season. They don't know what system they're going to play. I think Trent is going to play a very, very big part for Real Madrid. He's going to be a very big piece of their puzzle, because specifically, we look at this year, and the biggest piece of the puzzle that was missing is that right-back spot.
So how many players have we seen go to Real Madrid and just take such a step down because I've made it? How many, like, I understand the pressure that will be on Trent and the expectations that Real Madrid will have. Of course, I fucking understand that. But I just wonder if he is going to Real Madrid just to say that he has been a Real Madrid player. Like he has.
Do you have name examples?
Eden Hazard. Went from literally the best player, one of the best players on the planet in 2019 for Chelsea, world at his feet, mm-hmm. goes to Real Madrid. What do we all think? He's going to be amazing.
Starts well, gets injured.
Gets fat.
Gets injured and then fat. Gets injured first and then fat.
How many times did he promise Real Madrid fans, next season I'm going to get myself together?
Sure, 100%.
But when he was playing for Real Madrid, yeah, we saw glimpses of talent, but he did not apply himself in the way that you should as a Real Madrid player. That's just true. And yeah, Real Madrid were not the same team then. But like, bro, he was part of that team that won the Champions League on the sidelines. I'll give it to you. But like Real Madrid were not dusted when Eden Hazard was there. He was supposed to be the player to kind of help them go to the next level. But he kind of went there. And I think he even admitted himself later in interviews, now that he's retired, that like, you go to Real Madrid, there's not a step above that. You're at the peak of the mountain. You're at the top of the world. There's no higher perch in football than being at Real Madrid. Certain guys, like we've seen so many times in history, go to Real Madrid and just be at Real Madrid. So they'll win a couple of league titles, but they'll go through the motions. They won't be the best versions of themselves.
You don't think they'll want to have that? They're going to have that hunger of bringing the La Liga back.
Sometimes,
the Champions League back.
Sometimes you're a Ronaldo. Sometimes you're the other Ronaldo, and you're not your best self when you're at Real Madrid. Maybe sometimes the pressure. Maybe sometimes it's as simple as like you get your own private room at the training ground. You get your own BMW. Like these are luxuries that we don't talk about being at like any other team in the world. But like you're treated like a king in football because that's what you are as a Real Madrid player. That's what you are. And it's so easy to fall into a cycle of acceptance. And like Trent, I'm just not sure.
I think you're looking a little bit too far into it. Just a little bit.
And you just have to let it happen.
Like, this is a great career move.
And maybe you'll be right. And
if you'll be right, then all props to you.
It's given me, I don't want to, you know, step over the line trying to take assumptions about his character, what have you. But to me, it's giving some signs of lack of ambition.
I disagree.
And so maybe in a year or two's time, Trent will be a little bit chubby. Maybe he'll be a little bit complacent.
I don't get it.
Because that's what Real Madrid did. Going to Real Madrid, a lot of players fall into complacency.
And they get chubby?
That's what it is.
I don't get chubby? I don't really get it.
Loki, Mbappe was chubby before going to Real Madrid. Now he's kind of back in shape.
Really? No. Well, yeah. There you go.
Anyway.
It's a curse that a lot of players have fallen under. Look at the Galacticos of old, right? David Beckham, Roberto Carlos. We were looking at this team before. R9 Ronaldo,
yeah.
Raul, Kaka. All of these guys have gone to Real Madrid with the world at their feet. The best version of themselves have gone to Real Madrid. Oh my God, imagine the version of Kaka we're going to get at Real Madrid. Oh,
and it disappointed like crazy. That's true.
But that's also just...
For as many CR7s there are not.
But that's also to a testament of like just it's not always about the best players, it's about the team as a whole. You know what I mean?
It's always about the team as a whole.
Yeah.
Of course.
So always. It's not just about individuals, which is always what Real Madrid has done because they buy the best individuals. And of course that has made good teams.
I genuinely,
I, you know what I mean? It's not always about just the individual. That's why, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's why Juan Soto doesn't win the Mets the pennant this year, right? It's why Connor McDavid.
Sure.
It's why, it's why Connor McDavid doesn't win the Oilers the Stanley Cup every year.
Sure.
It's why Messi hasn't won the La Liga or the Champions League or the World Cup every time he's played in them. It's not always about just the best player.
It's not. It's not.
Okay.
Anyway.
But like, say like.
He's always going back to it.
He's mad.
LeBron's one chip with Cleveland means way more than his two with Miami.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And LeBron went to Miami. LeBron went to the Lakers. LeBron's a Cleveland kid.
And he was hated. And he was hated for the championship outside of
it. Is he hated right now?
No, he's not. Because when he went
back, because he made amends. Because he made amends for not winning the title with his hometown.
Yes.
Already done. Three times. Three separate times. Premier League. Champions League. Premier League. Beat the best city team of all time. That best, like, era of city teams of all time. Won the Champions League before City ever did it. And won the Premier League this season. Trent, farewell. Have a great life.
Don't get fat. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to say... I had to look this up. He does have a girlfriend now.
Okay.
But we know Trent has gone in some extracurricular activities.
Yeah. What was it? Maya Gemma? Or who is it?
Maya Gemma.
Her name's Estelle.
It was Jude.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Anyway.
Apparently Maya Gemma is dating Ruben Dias now.
That's what it is. It's Ruben Dias.
Yes.
Yeah. Ruben Dias.
Ruben Dias.
My Benfiquista.
All right. Please, can we move on? We've been on this.
I know. We might have to wrap up the episode. I think the only thing I'm going to touch on is the Napoli Scudetto. They're just closer. They're one win closer.
Yeah.
Because they won again this week.
They did. I watched that game as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for that, man.
And I watched a weird mix of games this week. Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I watched TFC this week.
I can proudly say, wow.
Depressingly. Yeah.
I could probably say that I watched.
How do you watch them? Stream?
Apple TV?
What do you think, Blake?
Yeah. You watch them on like Apple TV.
He buys the subscriptions, yeah.
Yes.
Very notorious for buying subscriptions, Julian is. Yeah.
Julian's good.
Yeah.
You laugh, but I save myself like $400 a year.
And then you ask us not to spoil because you're behind. Yeah. And no, when we do spoil,
no, I don't.
I'm behind, sorry guys.
No, I don't. I just keep my phone on Do Not Disturb. and my Fubo stream may be behind like a little bit, but it's not. Like, I don't get your notifications first.
Right.
If I'm lucky, a good day, I get a good stream, then I'm on the same level.
We'll be watching the Champions League, and like I'll give you an example. The Barca game against Inter. the goal is scored like 5 minutes later, Julian. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
That wasn't me reacting right away, dude. I watched the highlight and then a second highlight and then a highlight after that, and then after all the highlights and the game had kicked back off, then I went back on my phone. That's not me being behind. I wasn't reacting to it right away.
Interesting.
All right.
The one I was really behind for was Villa PSG.
Yeah.
The Desiree Doué goal, I was 3 minutes late. That was fun.
Desiree!
Anyways.
Quickly, we don't have time to preview the Champions League.
No.
But
quick prediction.
0-0.
I could low-key see that. Or you guys nick a goal. I want to be confident, but you know what? Fuck it. I've been confident with Arsenal this whole season. I said they're going to win a Champions League. We're going to come back. We're going to win 2-0. No, 3-1. No, 2-1 in overtime.
Overtime, God. Wow.
In extra time, and then we're going to score another goal, 3-1.
There you go. And Lee's prediction tonight?
I don't know. I'm scared.
Where is it? Here?
Yeah.
It's nice.
I think we get it done tonight. No, I'm kidding.
All right.
Please. Can we talk about the weirdness of this frame? We got a Toronto Maple Leafs hat on in front of an Aaron Ramsdale jersey. This has never been done in history.
My two favorite things in the world.
First thing Blake says when he walks into the studio is, the Ramsdale jersey looks so good.
He's such a legend, bro. He's actually so good.
One last very important thing before we go. Not FPL Roundup, don't worry. I could talk about FPL, but I'm not going to talk about
it. It's about that time.
Shout out Harry Kane, man.
Yes!
Look, as boyhood Arsenal fan...
Hold on, but did you see what happened to Bayern that day?
Yes.
They were
Let me
take you through the rundown. Basically, they win against Leipzig. Sorry, I'm excited in the pod. They win against Leipzig, they're champions, right?
Yeah.
They're away. So they're champions away from home, but they're still Bayern fans at where Leipzig play. I don't know exactly where it is. Anyways, so the game starts off horribly. Sesko scores a brilliant goal. They're 2-0 down, okay? The optimism is super low. Second half, yeah. two very, very quick goals. Eric Dier scores and then Olise scores to tie it up 2-2. Then, so now they just need one goal to win the title. Out of everybody to score the goal, Leroy Sané, who has been playing awful for the past, what, three, four, 5 years yeah. now, scores the goal, pretty much wins them the title. You would think wins them the title, but then at the 94th minute, when all the Bayern fans in the stadium are celebrating, there's shots of Harry Kane celebrating with the bench, dapping everybody up. He's super happy that he won his first trophy. At the 94th minute, Poulsen scores a very, very well orchestrated chip into the back of the net and kills Bayern's, well, doesn't really kill their hopes, but yes. on the day, yeah. kills Bayern's hopes of winning.
Delays the party.
Yeah, yeah. delays yes. the party.
The shot of Harry Kane on the sideline, hitting that like Neymar pose against United that one year, just...
He looked traumatized.
Yeah.
He looked traumatized.
No, I'm happy for him, though.
Yeah.
Like, as a Tottenham scum, I'm happy for him. Which I never thought I would be, but I am.
That's weird.
It's, it was actually an anomaly that he didn't win a trophy ever.
Is this...
He would have probably been the best player ever to never win a trophy. Yeah.
Like, is this a sign of, like, Tottenham about to break the trophy curse against United?
Maybe. No. This might be the beginning
God,
of it.
God, please no. Is this a curse buster, guys?
All right, relax.
Are curses getting busted this year?
I hope so.
Yeah, with PSG's first Champions League.
I'd sacrifice that. Yeah. If you told me that PSG win the Champions League, but Arsenal win the Cup, absolutely.
You mean Leafs?
Yeah.
Arsenal
win the FA Cup.
Why can't I just have both? Like, oh, let me be selfish.
Hey, that'd be a great summer for you.
Would be.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen. This has been yet another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast. Let's give a quick little time check to where we are right now.
127.
131, but
closer.
But
oh, we did have the talk at the beginning.
But we had a very interesting talk at the beginning before we started recording, yeah. and that took up
five, ten minutes.
Seven,
eight, nine. Yeah,
you might be closer then.
So yeah, you may be right on the dot. I don't even know. Yeah. Anyways, with that, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, do all those YouTube things. If you're watching on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, give us a little cheeky little 5-star rating and let us know who you got. PSG. Arsenal, are the Leafs getting it done? Whatever you think, let us know.
Bring it home, baby.
Bring it fucking home. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of the 6 Yard Box Podcast. This has been myself, Antoine, and Blake. And we will see you all next week.
We out.
See ya.